what's been great about the free school is that we are more interested in really supporting and building community rather than trying to necessarily, you know, tear down something.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Beth Hurd, and I'm an organizer for the Olympia Community Free School in Washington State.
But what is the Olympia Free School?
We are a community Skillshare network where people in the community donate their time and resources to share their skills with other people. So we have classes on everything from Japanese to computer building to a full range of activities. And we've been doing this for about 5 years now.
How did it come about? Where did you get inspiration to do this?
Well, I started my involvement with the free school about 4 years ago. And so I've heard stories about the very beginnings and worked with one of the women who helped found the free school. And it's changed a lot over the years, but initially it started from community meetings where people just gathered to talk about education and creating an alternative. A lot of people were, you know, very disillusioned with compulsory education or just coming from a place where they were parents who wanted to provide homeschool opportunities in a greater network. Some folks were teachers who had, you know, been involved in public school education for a long time and wanted to work to create something different as well. And so there were a series of community meetings, and people began to just talk and vision about what they wanted to create. What ended up happening were two lists were created. And the idea was to create a forum for community Skillshare, you know, a networking for different people who had different skills to share. So with these lists, there was one which detailed people who had a different skill that they wanted to share. And the other list was a list of people who wanted to learn a specific topic. So they wanted to learn vegetarian cooking or computer building. And then it was up to the individual to either contact the facilitator or contact those who were interested in different acquiring different skills and set something up. So that was how free school originated. And I came in right about that time. I was actually new to town, and I was interested in just meeting people who, you know, kind of shared the same passions I did and just getting to know the community. So I saw a free school flyer, you know, with these two lists, and decided to get involved and signed up to, you know, saying that I wanted to have an African discussion group. You know, so met people that way and became involved in organizing the free school. You know, since the time where it was just two lists, it's evolved quite a bit because we found that it was difficult to not really have a centralized location or a centralized sort of center for people to go to and associate with free school. So
why was it difficult, though? I'm just curious.
I think the challenge was keeping the lists up to date. Olympia tends to be a pretty transient town, and so college students come and go. That was one of the problems. Another challenge was just having something where that was really predictable for people and easy and accessible for them to plug into.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the idea of just, leaving it completely in this do-it-yourself kind of system was a little bit intimidating for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to create a catalog where, people who had said that they wanted to share a certain skill could advertise, specific times and locations to have their classes. And that way people could plan in advance and there was a better chance of getting more people together.
Mm-hmm.
So with a grant, a small grant from a local funder, we started to publish quarterly catalogs. And we were just meeting out of a space downtown called Media Island. And we just had a small space there, but classes were still in different locations around the community, so in libraries or people's homes or parks when the weather was nice. And so the catalog would list all the locations and all the times. And immediately we saw a huge change in participation levels. That first winter, we had a lot of people who signed up, and some people are still involved today.
Mm.
And just working out of that one space was really great because then people could come to weekly organizing meetings or, potlucks for all the facilitators to get together and share ideas about what they were teaching and how they were, leading their workshops.
Through the catalog, can you see I'm doing Savik at this location or that location, or is it all?
Yeah. Up until about a year ago, they were at many different locations, but we decided to rent out a larger building so that we could accommodate classes under one roof. And, we can accommodate a class size up to about 17 now, but if it gets much beyond that, we have to go to the library or to another location to have our classes. And whenever we have cooking classes, we don't have a kitchen in our building, so we also have to have that at another spot. It became important to establish more of a community learning center where people could come to, and more of a centralized location, because always hustling to try and find space around town took up a lot of organizing and energy. So it's been nice to have this space. And, now it's in a real centralized location right next to the post office. So that's given us greater visibility, too, just being right downtown.
And how about the money involved to do something like this? Is it affordable? Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how, if somebody, other people wanted to do something similar,
mm-hmm.
what would they be looking at?
We kind of took this leap of faith when we started to rent this building, because we went from very low overhead to suddenly having overhead. So quickly, we had to get creative about our fundraising, and we felt that by having a space, we would attract more people who could potentially contribute to the sustainability of free school financially.
Mm-hmm.
We rented this space, and there were a total of, five rooms. So we rented out two of the rooms we advertised them around town as artist space.
Mm.
And actually, one room downstairs was rented by an artist, and then the upstairs was rented by a nonprofit that's just getting going in town called Free Geek. And they're an amazing group that's a chapter of a much larger Portland-based organization that takes computers and recycles them in an environmentally friendly way. And then they also, part of their mission is also teaching free classes and helping to empower people to build and then use, you know, these recycled computers. So it was a great match for us to have them move in upstairs. So that led to us, you know, being able to suddenly afford this building. And then we also decided to open the space up to different community groups to come in and have their meetings there.
Good.
For a donation. And by doing so, we were able to suddenly attract a lot more people to our space. So they'd know where it was. They'd learn more about our programs. And the idea was that they would perhaps offer classes themselves through the free school, and they have. So we've got the Olympia Movement for Justice and Peace, the Linux User Group, the Olympia Rafa Sister City Project. There's a local alternative newspaper that meets there as well. And as a result of building partnerships with them, they are offering classes through the free school and supporting us financially, and we provide them with a great meeting space right downtown.
Little bird flying, a little bird flies through the sky all alone. He's looking for a home, he's looking for a home, he's looking for a home. Little baby crying, little baby crying, little baby cries in the night, wakes his mother and she wonders why. He's crying in the night again, he's crying in the night again, he's crying in the night again, yeah. Long train riding, long train riding, the long train rides through the night. She sits by the window underneath the light, waiting for her call to come. She's waiting for her call to come. She's waiting for her call to come, yeah.
Chomsky. You're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
To be a member of this free school, or just to go to, do you have to still pay a fee even though it's a free school, you know what I mean?
Well, that's an issue that, you know, we've kind of debated over the years as to whether or not we would charge. And we've always come around to deciding to keep the classes absolutely free. And the reason why is we don't want money to be an obstacle to participation. And, you know, so we want it to be a free and open environment for anyone to come in. And so within that, you know, it's important, since it is free, you know, and we do have this overhead, we had to work out a system where the participants and the facilitators of the classes were involved in an equal energy exchange. So when someone comes and takes a class at free school, we encourage them to give back in this equal energy sharing by either donating money, if they can, donating their volunteer hours, and perhaps that might mean facilitating a class or just helping out with an event or our day-to-day operations, or donating an item from our wish list. So we'd have, you know, a long wish list on our website of everything from, you know, computer discs to toner for the copier, and, you know. Mm-hmm. So that way, the participants can really feel like they are part of making the free school sustainable, and encourages them to be really conscious about their decision to take a class at the free school, and helps us, you know, sustain ourselves as well. What's been great about the free school is that we are more interested in really supporting and building community rather than trying to necessarily, you know, tear down something, you know, or just really coming out there with energy of trying to, you know, really challenge compulsory education. We certainly, you know, are encouraged. We certainly are providing something radical, but we're more interested in taking a positive approach. That way it's more accessible to more people as well. So, you know, and just being really sensitive to that and the kind of language that we use in our brochures and on our website, so that, you know, people who are disillusioned with institutionalized education can come to us and find a real viable alternative. And, you know, people who perhaps have never really thought about their experience with education might suddenly, you know, become awakened to thinking about the issues around their education and what works and what doesn't work.
Right. So what are the, who are the, some of the people that come to the free school?
We've got all different kinds of folks. I'd say the average age are the 20 and 30-somethings, but we definitely have folks who are a lot older, and we're working now to expand our youth programs and create more opportunities. So, and in fact, we've got a couple youth facilitators now, so.
And how about families, like homeschooling, people, families are homeschooling or unschooling?
Yeah. We definitely have those folks involved as well. And this summer, one of our projects is to go out, and we're working with a couple homeschool moms right now to develop surveys, which we're going to take to different homeschool networks in Olympia and just talk to some of the youth and find out what it is that they want to learn, what opportunities they're interested in, and how maybe free school could work to provide that for them. We've also talked about the idea of having one day a week dedicated to homeschoolers, unschoolers that can just come in, and we'll have, you know, a variety of different activities, but, you know, just more resources for, you know, youth to pick up and discover and learn. The homeschool moms that came to us originally came because they felt like they didn't really have, they didn't really feel comfortable with the networks that were already here in Olympia, and they wanted to provide something that was a bit more radical or a bit more progressive. A lot of the groups tend to be kind of Christian-based.
It's true, yeah.
You know, just in the U.S., there's, you know, there are a lot of free schools. There's one in Santa Cruz. There are many in many different stages around the U.S., and, you know, we all operate autonomously, but I think that we all share the same values around lifelong learning and creating a community around lifelong learning and, you know, just creating a non-hierarchical, open setting for people to learn. We've been talking about creating a free school conference in summer of 2006 here in Olympia to get together some of the folks from Seattle and Portland and Santa Cruz and Minneapolis and Austin and all over, you know, Halifax. Just get preschoolers together and talk about, you know, what our values are around education and share ideas about what works and what doesn't and how we can support each other.
Who can give a course or you know, share a skill? Like, are there any requirements? Can anyone do it? Or?
Yeah, there are no requirements. We, you know, we say everyone is a student, everyone is a teacher. So our catalog comes out on a quarterly basis. So on the 15th, before the month that it comes out, we have a submission deadline, and people can submit through our website, there's a submission form, or they can come in during our office hours. And we just ask them, you know, what it is that they expect from their participants and what they hope to get out of this, you know, leading the class. So they fill out a submission form, and then we, you know, if we have questions, if things seem unclear in their description or their outline, or, you know, we just try and connect with them to learn more about where they're coming from and what they're interested in. And that's really all that's required. We have a facilitator potluck before every session, so all the facilitators can get to meet each other, and we talk a little bit about, and this is something that we hope to do a lot more of in the future, but we've talked about how different people have different learning styles and how, you know, it's the goal of free school to create this non-hierarchical learning environment where, you know, it allows opportunities for the participants to maybe, you know, take over a section of the class or, you know, to really draw upon the knowledge and experience of the participants rather and to incorporate that into your workshop rather than just, you know, leading it as the expert, you know. So we have a conversation about that, and I think ideally in the future we can work on developing that a bit more and maybe even incorporating it into some sort of training. One of our ongoing classes is facilitation and consensus training. So the different facilitators have access to that if they want. It's not a requirement, but they have access to that class as well. You know, could really help them. So, you know, like I said, we've got people of all different ages and backgrounds. There's a 10-year-old who's doing a drawing class. In the summer, we like to have a much more laid-back schedule and encourage activities outdoors. So we'll be doing local farm tours and dance and yoga and things that are just a lot more fun and outdoor-oriented. And then in the winter months, it rains a lot here, so that's when we focus on more of the indoor classes. It's everything from computer classes, Japanese, yoga, philosophy. We've got book discussion groups. And then we also run the educational programs for the Olympia Food Co-op. So we coordinate all of the classes on nutrition and cooking and healthy living for the local food co-op. So that's been a great way for us to get visibility in the community. Over the winter, we did a whole series on Come Meet Your Local Farmer, and a lot of the classes were learning about the issues that are important to the local farmers around in the area. The Free School has a really amazing core group of volunteers right now, mm-hmm. and it's really what's made this possible. We're an all-volunteer-run staff. Majority of our staff is pretty young, under the ages of 22, a lot of youth involved in the core, and then a couple of us in our later 20s, and then, you know, someone who's in their 70s. Mm-hmm. And this group of people, we've been working together for a couple years. A few of us have been working for much longer, so there's really high retention rates, and I think it's just the dedication of the core that has really provided and added so much to this. And of course, all of our facilitators, a lot of people are repeat facilitators and really dedicated to seeing Free School become more of a thriving organization. This year, we're coming up on our fifth year, and we're filing our papers of incorporation to become our own nonprofit. For the past 4 years, we've been umbrellaed under another organization, and now we're going through a process of organizational development to really become our own autonomous group. And that's provided a great forum for us to evaluate where we are now, you know, 4 years into Free School, and get on the same page together to talk about, you know, strategic plans for the future and where we want to go. And I think what will be one of the things that we're also really excited about is just reaching out to the community more and encouraging those conversations with the community and bringing them into, you know, perhaps having community forums where people can really be part of shaping Free School and, you know, for the next 5 years.
Loves the sun. Who cares that it makes plants grow? Who cares what it does since you broke my heart? Who loves the wind? Who cares that it makes breezes? Who cares what it does since you broke my heart? Sun. Who cares that it is shining? Who cares what it does since you broke my heart? Ba, 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 ba. Who loves? Oh,
the end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.